So we've talked about it a little bit. We've seen some friends with some superpowers. But superhero movies were the thing this summer. Who saw Spider-Man? Anybody see Spider-Man out there? Huh? Three times. See? Spider-Man's that big. How about the final Batman? Who saw that? Yeah. So some big movies out there. We've got 007 coming up. Yeah, Avengers, yeah? Yeah, Avengers. So, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. All those movies, they're great. All of those guys, they have this secret power, right? Spider-Man was bit by a spider, and he's got this secret power where he can sling out webs. Nobody knows. He's just this little dweeby little photographer. But all of a sudden, no, I'm not. I'm swinging from buildings. So he's got this secret power that nobody really knows about. Then Batman. Now, he doesn't really have a power, but he still has this secret life, who he is. He's this rich, millionaire dude, but then he says, no, I'm a little vigilante. You've probably heard the word in the movie, but he just goes off and does his thing. All of the Avengers, they have this secret. And so the media in the world, in our culture, says, hey, look at these secrets. It's cool to have these secrets. We celebrate that. We love that. We're looking forward to that movies. They're great movies. But at the heart of it, they're saying, hey, it's okay to deceive people. It's okay to have this thing that nobody else knows about. You know, it might be cool to have secret powers that nobody knows about, but it's not cool to have secrets that nobody knows about. It's isolating. You'll be alone. It's terrible. Life is no fun when you're just harboring secrets. So, what is that secret for you? What have you done? What is something that you haven't told anybody? For Batman, that's that he's Batman. For Spider-Man, it's that he's got these webs coming out of him. Now, those are fun, but we all carry something heavy. Some of it heavier than others. So, what is it? What is that secret sin that you've never told anybody about? What is it, that thing that makes you more angry than anything? What is it that you feel that you've never told? What is it that you think that's just to yourself? Those secrets, they weigh on us. They bring us down. They're heavy. What happened to a friend? What are you trying to hide, to control, to ignore, to deny? These secret things that we keep in our heart, we all have them. God doesn't want us to keep secrets. He doesn't want us to live alone in isolation. We talked earlier, I shared that story. When I was alone, I got swept away. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to live our lives in the light and share it with the church. So let's look. If you've got your Bible, open it up to Luke 13, 10 through 13. We're going to look at a story where Jesus deals with this woman. So you open it up there. Read along with me silently. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. So here's this woman who is, she's got a problem. She's hurting. It doesn't say it in this translation, but another translation says, and behold, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching, basically saying, Jesus is kind of in the middle of a discussion, and he just sees this woman, and he has compassion on her, and he looks over at her, and he says, that's a problem, I want to do something about it. So here's this woman. He saw a woman who was crippled by an evil spirit. So the first thing that we see there is she had a problem. Something that she couldn't fix. She didn't hide it. She's sitting there in the open. She's sitting in the synagogue. She's sitting there and saying, look, I know I'm crippled, but this is it. I can't hide it. I'm not going to go run away from this. I'm going to be all here. This is me. She didn't try and control it. She couldn't control it. She's completely, who knows if she's paralyzed? Who knows if she's just totally crippled? But it says she's crippled, and she can't control the way she moves, the way she walks. She didn't ignore it. How can you ignore it? Have you ever had a sinus infection or a cold? It's miserable. I can't imagine what it's like to almost be barely able to move. You can't ignore that. She didn't deny it. She didn't just say, hey, now I know you guys see this, but I really don't have what it is that you're talking about. You go, no, yes, you do, and let me help you. What if she tried to just take that on herself and do it all by herself? She admitted it in front of everybody. She's in the synagogue saying, guys, I can't help it, but here I am. So she had a problem. She didn't try and fix it herself. She was completely powerless to fix herself. No control. She had to just say, look, I'm just here if somebody can help me. And so people through the church would come in and they'd give her money, maybe give her food. But Jesus saw her and said, hey, I can fix you eternally. I can fix that problem. She was powerless to do it herself, but Jesus has all the power in the world to do it. And so, yes, she's this nobody crippled woman that everybody probably walked by, maybe threw a couple coins. But Jesus is teaching the big dogs, the Pharisees, the leaders, this huge crowd of people, and he sees this one woman sitting there, just out in the corner, probably in the dark. She mattered to God. He looked over and he said, that's a woman I love. That's my child. She mattered to God. Guys, this is you. This is me. I am that crippled woman. You are that crippled woman. I have a problem. You have a problem. We've all got one. It's sin. And it is crippling. It's devastating. It will lead us to death. That's it. We're running through those rapids of life. It is bringing us to death. I have no power to fix it myself. I can't do it. I can't control it. I can't hide it. I can't ignore it. I can't deny it. It's taking me straight to death. But Jesus wants to fix me. Why? Because I matter to God. For some weird reason, we learned last week, we serve an unbelievably amazing, majestic God. We just sang about it. Majesty. Majestic. That word is just awe-inspiring. And for some reason, he loves me. Even though I've got sin, even though I've got crap in my life, even though I'm not perfect. Here's the thing. This message is not about you've got to get perfect. Jared prayed, Lord, thank you that you take us even when we're broken. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to you. I have a problem. I can't fix it. But I matter to God and he can fix it. But he's not made us do that alone. He gives us each other. He gives us the church. He gives us these people that we can be in community with, that we can rally around. They can rally around us. They can love us. They can keep us accountable. They can call us to something and say, hey, Harrison, you're not living the way God wants you to. What's going on? Tell me about it. I love you. Let me help you. And that's the Holy Spirit using people in your life to love you. But it's on us to share what those secrets are. And our culture all over the place is not saying, hey, you're not perfect. Tell everybody. It's okay. Tell everybody you're not perfect. They say, you've got to be perfect. Hide that. We think we have to be perfect. We think my pride gets in the way, and I don't want people to know that I'm screwed up. I don't want people to know that I've got this problem that I have no idea what to do with. I don't want people to know my secrets, my darkest things, the things that I'm not proud of, the things that people may reject me for. The world says, yeah, zip those lips, lock away the key. I'll prove it to you. Here's a clip from a music video of the All-American Rejects. This was done 3 years ago. This is what the culture preaches.
When we live such fragile lives, it's the best way we survive. I go around a time or two just to waste my time with you. Tell me all that you throw away. Find out games you don't wanna play. You are the only one that needs to know. I'll keep you my dirty little secret.
So the world is saying, hey, whatever that dirty little secret is, that sin, that person you hate. There were some other ones, the rest of the song. One says that my parents are filthy rich, but I shoplift every day. It could go all over the place. It could say, I'm afraid to walk in school. It doesn't matter what it is. Our culture, you may not see it because we celebrate these superheroes, but our culture says, if you've got a secret, hide it. It's okay. You may think, hey, Harrison, no, they just showed their postcard. They shared it. We have no idea who those people are. And yeah, maybe sometimes you'll throw it up online on a random blog, just get something out there. It may help you get it off your chest, but that's not helping you move forward in spiritual growth. That's not making you closer to a loving relationship with Jesus Christ and bringing you intimate with Him. That's just a band-aid. When we hide our stuff, man, it leads us straight to death. Don't hide those dirty little secrets. Get them out. This is a place where we love you because we were first loved by Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins, for my crap. I don't have to clean up. I can come. I can come to my small group. I can come to this whole body. I can just say, hey, here's where I failed. Give me grace because God gave me ultimate grace. So I want you guys to think to yourself, I want you to move forward in honesty. And it's going to take some hard work on your part. It might hurt. It might be messy. But it's worth it. Because believe me, I've sat where I've got this just darkness in my life and I didn't tell anybody. And it just wrecked me inside. I was miserable. There's no way you can ignore it. You can try. You can try and cover it up. You can try and do all these fun things. You can try and buy more stuff and make maybe it'll. You think it'll make you happy. It's not going to make you happy. You got to deal with it. So what's your problem? Maybe your parents are divorced and you're embarrassed by it. Maybe you're just a huge liar. Maybe you just tell everyone what they want to hear because it's easier. Because maybe you think they'll like you. Maybe you've got an eating disorder. You're too afraid to tell anybody. You're so worried about what those girls are going to think of how you look, that you're miserable, and you're literally dying. Maybe you're just enslaved by lustful images on the computer. You want desperately to stop looking at that, but you don't know how. You're trying to swim away from those rapids, but it's taking you to death. Maybe your dad cheated on your mom. You're angry and confused. Maybe your friends call you names. You act like it doesn't hurt, but it does. Maybe a family member died and you're afraid of death, deathly afraid. You can't sleep at night. Maybe you just really struggle with anger and you lash out at people at your family, but everyone thinks, there was a postcard on there. Everyone thinks I'm the greatest guy, but I'm so angry inside. Maybe you want to commit suicide. You hate yourself so much you think it's worth ending your life. Maybe you're cutting yourself. All of you may not deal with that. Some of you guys, I hope, never deal with any of that. But a lot of us in this room have dealt with something like that. A lot of us in this room know someone who's dealt with that, and you have no idea. And guys, I'll be the first to say, I'm not perfect. When I was your age, especially middle school and high school, I walked into school. I thought I was the best dude on campus, loving life. I was in class. I was completely ADHD. I couldn't focus. And I thought I was stupid, and so I pretended not to care so that people wouldn't think I was dumb. I was friends with everybody, but I had no friends. Everybody knew me at school, but I went home, and I was so alone. I was afraid to be vulnerable. And so I never had close, intimate friendships. I was afraid for people to know me. I was this free spirit to everybody on the outside. Everybody at school thought I was just easygoing, loving life, didn't care. this free spirit, but I was enslaved to my computer, stuck in sin. And I didn't tell a soul any of those for the longest time. Guys, if that's you, you don't have to be there. Jesus loves you. He cares for you deeply. He died for you so that you can be free from your bondage. Like I said earlier, it might be hard. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 8:21. It basically says, we're taking pains for what is right. It might hurt, but it's going to lead to freedom. It's going to lead to life. It is so worth it. So worth it. I want to read you something from 1 John. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I am totally guilty of this, of totally ignoring the sin in my life and saying, hey, I'm not a sinner. I'm not as bad as that guy. It's not what it's about. You are a sinner. Maybe you just looked at a dude. Maybe you looked at a girl and just said, what is she wearing? That's sin. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but God says, man, you don't have to live that way. Maybe it's something heavy like we talked about. But don't deceive yourself. Don't make God a liar. He came to bring you life, to bring you freedom, not to let you live in lies and secrecy. The song we just sang, we sang Majesty. The greatest love of all is mine since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Here's what it says. We sing Majesty, Majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I do care about you. I do care who you are, and so does Jesus. But it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how big or small your sin is. You don't have to be perfect to come to a relationship with Jesus. He loves you. The first step in moving forward is first to believe with your mouth. Confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus is Lord. And then jump into people who love you and care about you and want what's best for you. That's the church. This is a meeting. This is Wake. We don't come here. This is not church. Church is what's happening in your small group. Church is when you're moving forward in spiritual growth, when you're digging into God's word, when you're loving on each other and calling each other to something. That is the church. This is just a place we come hang out. This is fun. This is important. I hope you're challenged here. But if you're just coming awake, you're missing it. Get into a small group. And I'm going to challenge you guys this week. When you're in your small groups, I hope you guys have some good discussion. But I want you to admit one problem to yourself. Think about what that is. You got something. I remember being in your shoes so many times and just being like, oh my goodness, God, it's me again. Admit it to yourself. That's the first step. Then admit it to God. Go to him. Confess your sin and say, Lord, I know I've been sitting in that for a while. You came to give me life and freedom. Confess it to God and then confess it to somebody else. I'm going to challenge you to confess it to your small group. At the very least, confess it to your leader or confess it to your parents. It might hurt, but it is so worth it. Moving forward in honesty. It's what it takes. And it takes being radical because our sins are way radical. Don't run towards death. Live in the light. You guys are awesome. And I really hope the discussion goes well this week. Please come see us in the background. In the back, if you're not in a small group. If you've got something that you need prayer about, that you want to talk about, I'd encourage you to first go to your leader. That's why they're here. They love you. If you don't have a leader, or if you just need to talk, I'll be up here. Bron will be up here. We'll have some people up here who just want to pray with you, talk with you if you want. Be thinking about this. Admit it to yourself. Admit it to God. Admit it to someone else. And I'll tell you this. If you guys are honest with other people, it's going to help you be honest with yourself. Because it forces you to realize, wow, that's me. Be honest with each other. Call each other to something. Heavenly Father, thank you. for these guys and girls, these men and women. Thank you for their willingness to come here, to worship you, to have a blast. Thank you that they want to dig into God's word, see what it is that you say that you give us. Lord, let us not just live for the things that are easy. Let us not just live for the things that sound good or that we want, but let us be impacted by the truth of what you call us to, and let us live in that truth. I pray for these students this week that they'd have great conversations of the secrets in their lives, not just so they can get it off their chest, not so that they can just check that off the box, but so that they can come to life change and move forward in spiritual growth, move towards more of a loving relationship with you because they're fully yours. You call us to be bond servants of you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace finding us just where we are. Thank you that we don't have to come with good works and great deeds, but we can just say, Lord, I need you. I'm hurting. Help me. I'm crippled. Heal me. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for your blood shed for us so that we can live. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.